For more information, go to WGTD.org or dial 564-3030.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction counselor at Racine Correctional Institution. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters, and our topic today is dreams, dreams for everyone. With me as my guest is Tammy Conforti, the president of the Kenosha Dream Playground Project, and she has exciting new news to report. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning, Len. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Now, the Kenosha Dream Playground Project has been an idea for about 3 years now. What's happening next to make it possible for all children with special needs and needs to have some special equipment on a playground for safety and accessibility? What's going to happen next?
Well, the exciting news is we're building the playground in about 100 days. So we are in the home stretch now. We are planning, we are gathering volunteers, and we are so excited about the build coming up.
Now, where is it going to be again? Refresh our recollections. Okay, it's on the north side, right?
Yes, the playground is going to be built at Petsky Park.
And that's located where?
That's 1700.
It's about 15th Avenue, right? About 15th Avenue.
Yeah, it's right there.
And how long has this been in preparation now? 3 years?
The project began in August of 2012. Mm-hmm. And from conception to completion, it's about a 3-year community project.
And you're going to start to build it almost immediately now?
Yeah, we're going to have what we call pre-construction ground level in August. I'm sorry.
Sort of a rehearsal almost.
Yeah, huh? In August we're going to have the pre-construction build, and that's kind of like the skeleton of the playground, and a lot of that is drilling the holes and putting in the framing. And then in September, on Labor Day actually, which is September 7th, we're going to actually start our community build. So we're laboring on Labor Day here in Kenosha.
I see. So they're going to have some professionals come in first to do some of the site preparation work?
Yeah, the professionals are coming in. Our construction manager, his name is Lee Archin, and he's coming in from Ithaca, New York.
Wow.
And his company is Play by Design.
And why from Ithaca? Why, this is their specialty, I gather.
They make beautiful playgrounds, and during the research phase, I came across some of the playgrounds that they had worked on. And I fell in love with them, and I thought they were gorgeous and that they would be a good match architecturally for our city. And I did some more research, and we just thought that it was a really good match for Kenosha.
And how will everyday people be able to get involved with the build on the Labor Day weekend? Or is this something that you require some special training for?
You don't have to have special training. We have a job for everyone on the playground. The volunteers can work. We have 3 different shifts, 4-hour shifts. And during that 4-hour shift, we'll also have a meal. We'll have lunch and dinner provided. And what we're asking people to do is we're asking people to get on our database. Currently, we have a database, and there's 2 ways you can get on the database. You can get on the database by filling out a volunteer interest form, or you can go on the Kenosha Achievement Center's website, which is www.thekac.com.
Thekac.com.
Thekac.com. Mm-hmm. And there'll be a little link in the right-hand corner, and it says volunteer opportunities, and you click on that, and it will bring you an interest form will come, and the little fields of boxes will show up, and you can enter all your data there. The nice thing about getting on the database is once you're on the database, when it gets a little closer to the build, probably end of June, we will be calling you and contacting you so that you can choose your date and your time, and we'll let you know what time slots are available so that you can decide which day you want to work.
Sounds very organized. Now, we'll get into the details of all of this again later in the program for people to be able to sign up. You said there was 2 websites people could go to fill out an interest form.
Well, the interest form is on the Kenosha Achievement Center website, but there's also information on our Facebook site. You cannot sign up on Facebook,
but
you can get some information on the Kenosha Dream Playground Project Facebook page.
So that would be the name of the page.
That's the name of the
Kenosha
page.
Kenosha Dream Playground Project.
Yes.
Great. Now, let's take a step back a little bit so that listeners who haven't been following this story as assiduously as we have will get an idea of why this is so important. It's easy to not pay attention to something that's so far off, but now it's imminent and people are going to be able to start using it sometime after the early fall. Is that right?
That's correct.
Now, what's the basic purpose of this Dream Playground project? It's for children who have special needs. Tell us about that.
The playground is for everyone, people of all abilities and all ages. There are a lot of children out there who have disabilities who currently are sitting on the sidelines, and they're not allowed to join the play because the facilities don't meet their needs. So when we designed the Kenosha Dream Playground Project, we made sure that there was going to be something for everyone. There will be no physical barriers. Not only will children with disabilities be able to get around on the playground, but adults who may have disabilities, parents of children who are typically developing, but their parent might have a disability, or grandma and grandpa might want to take their grandchild to the playground, and grandma and grandpa might have a mobility issue. Maybe they have a cane or a walker, or they've had hip replacement or knee replacement. Because the playground will have a very soft, rubber, seamless surface, it will provide people with mobility issues that safety. They won't have to worry about tripping or falling or trying to push a wheelchair through wood chips.
That's a really wonderful added attraction for this that I hadn't really thought about before, that parents and grandparents, others in a family who want to bring their grandchildren, nieces, and nephews to this park who may have disabilities, and we start get those knee replacements earlier and earlier these days, that's a wonderful advantage. So those people can be together and have that joy as a family. That's terrific.
You know, another thing, too, is we have some very young veterans who've come back from the war, Iran and Afghanistan and other areas, and they have lost a limb, and they're young people, and we're seeing it more and more. And those young people may currently have children or may have children in the future. So with their prosthesis, they'll be safe on the playground surface.
They could take their children.
So they can take their children.
Whether they're able-bodied or not.
Whether they're able-bodied or not.
But still have that parental ability to bond with their kids in that kind of activity.
Right.
That's really terrific. That's an aspect I had never really thought about until you brought it up this morning. That's great. Tell us a little bit more about the kinds of things that will that make this playground special. You've talked about the surface. It's going to be a padded surface, in essence, rubberized surface, no seams to trip on and catch your heel in.
Well, Len, we have a swing, and it came all the way from Australia, and it's called the Liberty Swing. And the swing can actually accommodate the child inside the wheelchair. And the child and the wheelchair swing simultaneously together. So those children who are physically bound to their wheelchair, who due to their disability cannot leave their wheelchair, will be able to have that freeing, swinging sensation for the first time in their lives.
Oh, that's really exciting. I can't imagine what that might feel like.
We also have a wheelchair-accessible merry-go-round where the same thing, the wheelchair actually goes on the merry-go-round and the children with and without disabilities are playing side-by-side. It's completely inclusive, shoulder-to-shoulder play. There's no separation that would designate that, well, you have a disability, so you need to play over here, and you don't, so you need to play over here. So there's no separation. We also have some high back swings to support children who need that trunk support. And we have some things that are spinning and twirling for children on the spectrum of autism. They seem to like those activities. There will be Braille on the Dream Playground and also sign language. So we've really thought a lot about the types of equipment we wanted to have. There will also be artwork. Children's artwork will be on the playground. There will be a beautiful mosaic. And we'll also have a musical center where children can actually create their own music.
Will there be people to help explain the equipment? And
The equipment won't need any explanations, Len. The children will go out there and play, and they're going to find the pieces that are appealing to them, and those are the pieces they're going to play on. We have multiple different swing banks, and we have some really unique things that are very custom to Kenosha. We have two custom-built lighthouses on the playground. We have a trolley on the playground. We have a Rambler, a 1966 front end of a Rambler to represent our manufacturing history here in Kenosha. So it has some history built in it. There's also a ship. And so we have some really unique slides. We have some slides that are made of metal, actually. And the nice thing about those slides is they're not plastic. So when a child goes down the metal slide, it won't conduct a static electric charge. We're finding out that when children slide down plastic slides, it creates static, and the static can short out the frequency of their cochlear implant for children who are hearing impaired. So
we didn't have to worry about plastic slides when I was a kid. We won't go into that, however. We didn't even hear of plastic slides until much later. That's a problem you never think about, but these are the reasons why your research has paid off for our community. You find out these things, and then you can prepare for them so that you don't have a ear implant burnout because you're using improper equipment. Now, a reason I'd asked about help, I was wondering whether or not you would need some kind of assistance or training to put a wheelchair on this carousel or a wheelchair in that swing? Or
The parents of the children that are in wheelchairs will be responsible for use it, and there will be directions on how to use it.
You have plaques up.
And it will be a safe swing. It will be a great opportunity for those families whose children have never had that opportunity.
Anything else we want to talk about the design of the playground? There's going to be the swings, the carousel, spinning exercises, an opportunity for it to do artwork. And I imagine there'll be probably some of the organizations will come out and conduct exercises and classes and activities at sometimes during the year, I hope.
Yeah, it would make a great field trip destination for child care centers and schools and churches. There's going to be it's 15,000 square feet, so it's big. It's not going to be like anything you've ever experienced before. It's a one of kind, a unique, original. So we're very, very, very excited about all the different opportunities. What's also nice is children with disabilities have therapies, and if their therapist so chooses, they could bring the child to the playground and they could actually conduct a therapy session there and work on strengthening and work on gross motor and fine motor and some of the things that children with disabilities need to work on. There'll be monkey bars and parallel bars, and there'll be things to climb on. So this way the children are exercising their bodies, which actually helps strengthen their minds because you can't have one without the other.
Tammy, how did this get started?
What
possessed you to you've been involved in spearheading this now since the early days. I don't know if it was the beginning or not.
Well, that's a twofold question. My big inspiration is the children that I've worked with the last 15 or 16 years. I'm a teaching assistant, and I work for Kenosha Unified. And my students have inspired me. They are very determined. They never give up. And as an educator, we were always trying to come up with ways to include children, to make sure that they were included in the learning. And I was on a vacation, and I saw a swing, and it was really uniquely designed, and I took a picture of it. And when I got home from the vacation, I did some research, and I found out that there was some specially designed equipment. And from the equipment, I was like, wow, I had never seen anything like this. We don't have anything like this in Kenosha. So I did some additional research, and I found out that there were some playgrounds that weren't too far away that actually had these type of equipment and that they were made for children with disabilities. So I did some traveling, and I went to Port Washington. And
right up north of Milwaukee here.
Yes,
right here.
And I came across a playground called Possibilities Playground, who was spearheaded by an educator. Her name is Marty. And I called her on the phone, and I wanted to visit the playground, and I asked her a bunch of questions. And when I got there, I absolutely fell in love with it. I thought, oh, my gosh, this is so incredible. I saw children with disabilities and without disabilities playing side by side, and it was just so gorgeous. And I knew it was something that we needed to have. And so I called Marty again, and I asked her a bunch of questions. How did you do this? How did you go about it? And she gave me a lot of tips and hints. And so I did some additional research, and I went to Oconomowoc. And I went to a playground called the Imagination Station, and I saw the same thing there. Beautiful, accessible playground, and I just kept getting more and more excited. The more playgrounds I visited during the research phase, the more excited I got. So I came to the city, and I drove around all over Kenosha because I'd lived here my whole life, but I didn't know where a lot of our parks were. And so I got a map, and I drove all over, and I saw beautiful parks, gorgeous parks, but nothing was accessible. And I thought, wow, really? We really don't have anything. So I went to the city, and I wanted to find out how our parks developed and how our playgrounds planned. And so I studied a master park plan for another park, and I thought, wow, this is a really involved process. I had no idea. So I decided to go to the mayor, and I went to city council, and I went to the Parks Commission, and I told them about the Dream Playground. I shared the vision with them, and I kept coming back, and the mayor and everybody really got excited about just the thought of having something that in our community. And I wanted to create a partnership, and so I spoke with the mayor, and we did. We created a partnership, and I told them that I wanted to start a 501(c). And I found that to be somewhat of a daunting process.
Starting a new not-for-profit charitable organization requires a good deal of paperwork.
Yeah.
Sometimes people partner with an existing organization to launch a project. Is that what you did?
And that's what I did. I got that advice from the mayor, and so that's what I did. I decided that starting a partnership would be a better, quicker way for me to be able to start to raise the funds.
And we'll come back to that. I just want to reintroduce for those who have just tuned in. On Community Matters this morning, we're talking about the Kenosha Dream Playground Project for children of all abilities and all capacities. A very inclusive idea, and Tammy Conforti is the president of the project, and she's been working very closely with the Kenosha Achievement Center and helping to make that come to pass. And that was where we left off, how you've partnered with the Kenosha Achievement Center to help manage the financial part of this project.
Yeah, the Kenosha Achievement Center, they have been absolutely wonderful partners for us to have. We have been working very, very hard to get the playground up and running, and we've been spending a lot of time educating and advocating, letting people know who we are, what we're doing, and why we're doing it.
Now, this is an expensive undertaking. What genie produced all the money?
Well, that's a funny question. We actually have raised this money for the Dream Playground one penny at a time. We have so many different ways that we've gone out and raised the money. We've had spaghetti dinners. We've had golf outings. We've had grill your own steak night. We've had party on the pavement. We've had dances. We've had concerts. And not only has my organization planned those things and the Kenosha Achievement Center planned those things, but the community has planned different things. And from their fundraisers, they've given us proceeds towards the Dream Playground. We've also sold T-shirts, and we've also taken direct donations. We're also, right now, we're selling bricks and pickets, which are two things where people can actually purchase, and they actually own a piece of Kenosha's history. So the pickets are $40.
And what's a picket?
A picket is a plastic, looks like a board, I guess, but it's made out of plastic, and it surrounds the playground. It's a fence picket,
Okay, it's a picket fence, and you're going to be a Leonard Iaquinta picket if I wanted one.
Yeah, if it fits in 17 characters. I'm not sure. I haven't counted the letters of your name, but if it fits in there. So people can have them personally engraved. They make great gifts. They make great birthday gifts or anniversary gifts. My mother got one for her Mother's Day gift. And my father is getting one for Father's Day. And my son recently had a birthday, and he got one.
Don't expect anything but a picket from Tammy for the rest of this year, just saying.
Yeah, it's a perfect gift. You know, you don't have to return it. It's not the wrong shape, size, or color.
It doesn't have to be wrapped.
And there's some longevity in this gift.
Well, and you also know that you're a part of history and something that's really terrific for the community. Are you there yet financially?
We are moving closer to our financial goal. We are still raising money. We have been working on our corporate capital campaign, and we've been going out to businesses in Kenosha who we make successful and looking for them to give back. And we feel that there is a donation level for everyone. We've gotten donations at the $10,000 range, and we've gotten donations at the $25,000 range, and ranges above that and ranges below that. We've also gotten some grants and some foundation money. So we really have gotten our funding from a large variety of sources.
Sounds very diverse, which is very, very positive. and good bodes well for the future of the project and its longevity and sustainability too, because it needs to be sustained in a longer run after it's built, right?
Correct.
And this is a wonderful way for individuals to participate, to honor or remember someone, or just to honor or remember themselves. And it's a great kind of corporate involvement because it will provide something not only for the whole community but for your employees that will make use of this facility. And virtually every business of any reasonable size is going to have employees that will probably benefit from this playground sooner or later.
Yeah, I like to say that the playground is funded by the community, built by the community, and enjoyed by the community. So it's a full circle project. It's a project that's unified people and brought people together, regardless of your race, your gender, your social economic status, or your religious beliefs. So it has really brought people together in our community for the greater good.
Really cuts across all the lines, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sure does. No barriers.
Now, how will this park relate to the public school system and the Parks Department in the future? How do you foresee? You mentioned one thing. You could foresee schools, classes coming to the park to use it. You mentioned that individual treatment therapists might use it for bodybuilding, balance building exercises, and so forth, and get healthy outdoor exercise. So any other thoughts? You've talked to a lot of people. Any other ways that there might be involvement with the Parks Department and the schools supporting it? Or are there opportunities you've seen in other communities for how this kind of develops once it's built?
In other communities, they will sometimes have a yearly, annual celebration there. They'll plan something every year around the same time the playground was built to remember the year that it was built and then to kind of talk about its longevity. So there'll probably be an event that gets planned there every year to celebrate, you know, you build a $1 million playground in your community once. So this is 2015, and in 2016 you can celebrate and revisit that. So I think that's one thing. Also, families, there will be a pavilion on site, and there's going to be a gorgeous, fully inclusive, accessible bathroom on site. It's going to be the first one in the city that's fully accessible. So families can actually rent the pavilion and have birthday parties there or graduation parties there, or they may want to have a wedding, an outdoor wedding or a wedding rehearsal or those kind of things. So the playground is going to serve multiple uses. Also,
so you would sign up for that the same way you would sign up for a pavilion at Alfred Park? Or
correct. Correct.
Through the city to Parks Department.
And there'll be a pavilion on site, too. Mm-hmm. So.
Keep going. Yeah, tell us more about that. That's
We're
exciting.
We're also going to have, other than the bathroom and the pavilion, the playground is going to be kind of centrally located there. We are thinking that people from other communities are going to want to come see Kenosha's $1 million jewel. We are thinking that people that don't live in Kenosha will travel here. It's great to have some tourism dollars, so they'll travel here, they'll stay at our hotels, they'll eat at our restaurants, and they'll shop at our shops because they're going to want to see what we have. And the nice thing about the playground is I'm hoping it's a segue for other communities when they get here and they see, wow, look at what they did in Kenosha, and I want that to inspire them to do it in their community is what is really a goal of mine. Because it happened to me, so I'm hoping that it happens to other
people.
Keep
spreading the seeds.
Yes.
And I'm sure that you'll get some help from a lot of people in doing that.
Right.
Now, I'd like to hear more about your visits to some of the other communities. I think that can be very instructive to learn how other communities are using the parks and what you've seen and what you've observed. It's exciting to hear what you're reporting that you've seen elsewhere.
Yeah, I've seen some playgrounds in other communities. They do say that they're inclusive and accessible. And sadly, in my experience, some of them are surrounded by wood chips. They have gorgeous, they have beautiful equipment, but then they surround it with the wood chips. And as soon as you surround wood chips around a play center, you've eliminated everybody with a mobility issue. You basically are not able to push wheelchairs.
Can't push a wheelchair
through
or a
the
walker
wood chips
through
to
wood
get
chips.
To the beautiful swing. So you're carrying the child, or you're having to get there
not
in
so
a
easy
very
to
arduous
walk on.
Way. Yeah,
not easy to walk on
no.
with a cane.
No,
either
leg braces, walkers.
If you have any instability issues,
prosthetic limbs. Wood chips are.
So wood chips are a bad thing. They seem like such a good idea until you start to think about it clearly from this perspective.
They're economic. You know, it's they save money. And they're easy to get, and they're a renewable source. Mm-hmm. So you can just put more wood chips down year after year after year.
So in our case, we're going to surround it with not wood chips, but
a rubberized floor.
And then you'll go up to that rubberized floor on a sidewalk of some kind.
Yeah, there will be a sidewalk that leads to it. So,
how are you going to accommodate parking for this?
There is parking now currently at Petsky Park, so we'll be using the parking lot that's currently there.
Will there need to be maybe added accessible parking, do you think?
There are quite a number of wider parking stalls. The nice thing with the wider parking stalls is if you have a van lift, if you have a wheelchair lift in your van and you're lowering it down, so you need a couple extra feet. And there's adequate parking there.
And we'll find out if there isn't soon enough.
Right.
But there's plenty of parking. Now, I wonder if there's any aspect of this that you have found particularly challenging. That has you're really excited about having crossed that threshold. What's the toughest part that you found about putting this together?
Patience. I would guess. I knew that it was going to take a long time to get the project off the ground, and I never alluded that it was going to be a short-term project. And from conception to completion, it's 3 years, and 3 years is a long time to wait. I have a little child that has been working with the project with me, and she's my inspiration child. She's actually a student of mine. Her name is Amity, and she is 6.5 years old. She's turning 7 very soon. And for her, it's been a very long haul. 3 years in the life of a child is a long time. So waiting for the playground and knowing that the day is coming now shortly where the mayor and Amity will cut the ribbon and children will flood the playground for the first time. So I would have to say being patient.
You have equipment coming from all over, I'll bet, for this very special piece of property we're putting together for our community. I imagine there's some logistical issues you've had getting everything together and having it come at the right place and has to be stored.
Everything has to be stored.
You're working closely with the Parks Department on that.
Yeah, the Parks Department, they're a great group of guys. They are so excited about the project. It's so different and so not like what's been done before. So it's kind of going to put Kenosha on the map, and they're excited about the fact that they're part of it, and they can tell their families and their children and their grandchildren that, wow, you know, I was part of that. I helped build the Dream Playground Project. And actually that's something that the whole community can have that same feeling when they come and volunteer for us. When they come and work 4 hours on the Dream Playground, you can work at your job every day and that's great, and, you know, obviously you need to do that to make money and feed your family. But working on the Dream Playground Project is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So we're hoping people are creative and that they can find 4 hours of their time out of a 6-day span to come and be part of history in the making.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the details of how to roll up your sleeves and pitch in. And the August piece is going to be prep work. That's not for
That is for volunteers. It's just a smaller scale. We don't need as many volunteers for that.
You're doing that in a different way, I suppose.
We are gathering names for the database for that also.
So people who have what kind of special skills are you looking for in August, and when in August is that going to be?
Well, we have skilled workers and non-skilled workers, and we need a percentage of both. What we're really working on now and we're focusing on is getting the build captains. Build captains, there's a very large time commitment with the build captains, and those gentlemen will actually be taking direction from our project manager early in the morning, and the crew captains will be given a crew, basically. And the crew captains will know what tasks need to be done. They'll take their volunteers, and they'll get that done. And so out of their crew, some of them may have used power tools before, some of them may not, but there'll be some on-site training, and people will get that guidance that they need. From the skilled workers, they'll help teach the non-skilled workers.
And when will that take place, Tammy?
The crews?
Yeah,
that
August.
Will be going on every day. That's going to be an
August.
Everyday process. Yes.
So people could sign up on your database.
Yes.
And Can they indicate whether they're available in August or Labor Day? Or?
Yes, they can. They can indicate that on the form. And like I said, when we get later into the month of June, beginning of July, we'll actually start scheduling people. People don't need to know what day and what time they want to work right now. They just need to get on the database.
Okay, that's good. Let's make that clear. Right mm-hmm. now, the emphasis is if you want to volunteer to help sometime during August or over the Labor Day weekend with the Dream Playground Project build, get your name on that database right away. And then the details of setting a time will come later, and you'll be contacting people when you're ready to set those times. And let's go over all the details of how to get on that database again.
Okay, the database. There's two ways to get on the database. You can fill out a paper interest form from one of the Kenosha Dream Playground Project team members. We will be at every single Kingfish game. We'll have a booth set up there. You can purchase a picket, you can purchase a brick, and you can sign up on a volunteer interest form. The Kingfish is the official recruiting headquarters for the Dream Playground Project. So they have partnered with us, and we are very, very, very fortunate to have a booth set up there so we can be reached there. If you don't want to fill out the paper form, you can go on the website, the Kenosha Achievement Center's website, which is thekac.com. And click on volunteer opportunities, and you can fill out the little field boxes with your name and the type of information.
If anyone doesn't know yet, the Kingfish are the baseball team in Kenosha. I actually
yes.
was driving around with a friend the other day, and she didn't know what it was. And because it was yard signs. What are all those yard signs?
Oh, yeah.
What king is coming?
Right.
That's a great partnership. That's terrific.
Yeah.
The Kingfish have been very, very civic-minded in putting their program together, and that's really wonderful for the community. And the time commitment in August, would that be a four-hour slot as well?
Yeah, they're a four-hour slot except for the crew captains. The crew captains need to be there 12 hours, so they come early in the morning and they leave late at night. And the crews rotate. But the crew captains stay. And crew captains, we're really looking for people to make those 12-hour day commitments. So we're...
Are you looking for a particular kind of skill set for people to be a crew captain?
We would like them to be skilled. They don't necessarily have to be skilled, but they need to be good delegators. They need to understand a lot of the vocabulary. They need to be able to take the direction from the project manager and then give the direction and make sure that it's executed by their crew.
So some familiarity with construction might be very helpful.
That would be very, very helpful.
For those crew captains.
It would be very helpful mm-hmm. for the crew captains, and we need quite a few of those.
Quite a few of them. So
crew captains.
People who are listening who have that special skill,
right.
This would be a chance to use it in the service of our community in a very meaningful and special way.
When you go on the website, we have 10 committees working in the community, and all of our volunteer committee information is on the website, and you just click on volunteer opportunities and contact us, and our committee members' names are on there, and our volunteer committee member who is in charge of kind of structuring all of the volunteers and organizing, her name is Katie Briggs, and her name is on there. And if you'd like to volunteer, she would be your contact person, and her contact information is on the site.
Terrific. Now, I wonder if there's going to be a big celebration in September after all this building, and if you have any details of that you'd like to share.
We're actually going to have two celebrations, Len. The first celebration will be on Saturday night, September 12th. We will celebrate that the community build has completed, that the 6 days are over, and we're going to celebrate all the people who came out and helped volunteer. Then the playground will be probably, I would say, about 95% complete. It won't technically be open because there won't be a floor there. The floor is the last process in the building of the Dream Playground. So the contractor will come out and the floor will get installed.
That's a professional contractor.
Professional contractor. That won't be done by volunteers. And the floor will dry and cure, and there'll be a process that the floor goes to. And then it will be allowed, foot traffic will be allowed on it after that time. So once we get a little closer to the build and we talk to the contractors, they're going to be able to tell us the details of that. And then after that, we will have our citywide dedication ceremony where the mayor and the Inspiration Child will cut the ribbon, and the playground will officially open.
Do you suppose that'll be by the end of September?
I don't really have a timeline because I'm not sure of the floor process, but I believe it'll probably more than likely be in October.
Well, and of course, weather will have something to do with that too, I'm sure, with if they're putting down that special.
We'll be making announcements
floor.
As it gets closer. We'll be letting everybody know.
But we could think about finishing 95% of the build Labor Day weekend.
No, well, not Labor Day weekend, actually, because Labor Day is the start. So Labor Day is Monday.
So that's the first day.
Yeah, it's the first day of the build. And then it goes Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
So at the end of that, that's Saturday night.
That's Saturday night.
Is the first party. Celebrating all the people who've pitched in.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I don't want to miss that party. And then we'll have the grand opening once the floor is in and cured. And who knows how long that might take. It'll be weather dependent. And hopefully everything will arrive on time.
It's going to be a big day of celebration in our community to look back and say, wow, together we built the $1 million playground.
How many people do you suppose are going to be involved in this, Tammy, it's all been done? Between donors and workers, it sounds like we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of people involved.
Thousands, I think, Lynn. I really do think there's thousands of people who have donated financially, and there's going to be people that are going to donate their time. We're also, I had mentioned to you before that we are feeding people on site and going to have a half-hour lunch and a half-hour dinner. And my food committee are going to go out to different restaurants in the community and ask them to donate the food for the build to feed our volunteers, because we figure if they're there, they're going to be hungry. And we don't want them to leave. We'd rather have them eat and stay so we can get them to work. So
this is an opportunity for restaurateurs listening this morning to get involved, to give you a call, get a little credit, maybe have their food be tasted by someone, people who've never tasted it before, and get a little recognition in the community. That's great. I'm sure there'll be a lot of participation.
Yeah, my food chairman, her name is on the website also, so you can contact her. We have a security coordinator. We have a daycare coordinator. We have a first aid coordinator. We have a food coordinator. We have a tools coordinator. So we have all these different coordinators. So if you're going to volunteer, or you would contact the volunteer coordinator. If you want to offer goods or services or food-related things, you would contact the food chairperson. So we have different people doing different roles.
Let's mention that daycare detail. That could be awfully important to a lot of people who want to come and volunteer about providing daycare for their kids.
We're going to have more information about the daycare opportunity. It's not technically daycare. It's more like keeping an eye on the
custodial
children.
Keeping them from running off.
Yeah, and we're going to be making some more announcements about that later on. We're kind of
in
the planning.
You're going to be family friendly.
We're going to be family friendly. We're in the planning mode right now, so we're kind of working out all those details right now.
So if anyone wants to help with that, they could give you a call.
Yep, they can give me a call. They can go on the site, and they can give us a call.
Wow, have you forgotten anything? I can't think of anything.
No, I can't think of anything. If you'd like to purchase a brick or a picket, you can also go on the Kenosha Achievement Center website, download a form, and place your order. You can see pictures of what they look like if you're curious to see.
What if I wanted to write a check, do something as odd as writing a check?
How
would one do that?
You would download your form, you would write out your order, and you would write a check. All checks for the Kenosha Dream Playground Project need to be made out to the Kenosha Achievement Center. On the top line, pay to the order of. On the memo line, someplace else on the check, it needs to say Kenosha Dream Playground Project. Because it's a restricted fund, and this helps us know which fund that needs to go into.
Okay, memo to listeners from Len. I'm a professional at doing this stuff in fundraising. This is very commonly done. There's nothing weird about this. The Kenosha Achievement Center is acting as fiscal agent, so they are the payee on your check, but they have established a restricted fund for this project and this project only, and so it's pay to the order of Kenosha Achievement Center, but on the memo line at the lower left part of that check, you write Kenosha Dream Playground, and they will put it in the right account, and your gift receipt acknowledgement will certainly indicate that that's where it was deposited. And you can just send that check and mail it to the Kenosha Achievement Center. Can it be done online through like PayPal or a credit card?
You can do it on PayPal. You can do it with a credit card. So there's multiple ways for you to choose to do that. I also want to say that 100% of your donation goes to the playground. None of the volunteers are paid, nor myself, nor am I.
So this is a huge volunteer project for our community. All right, we're going to review. We're going to review because we have a good set of listeners here who want to roll up their sleeves and get involved. My guest, Tammy Conforti, is the president of the Kenosha Dream Playground Project. Gifts to this project are fully tax deductible, as provided by the IRS rules and regulations and laws. Consult your tax advisor, but you'll find it's a great charity. And Tammy, why don't you review for us once again the website where people can get more information is at through the Kenosha Achievement Center. It's www.thekac.com, which would be so be www.thekac.com. And is there a phone number if people actually wanted to talk to you or someone there to get information that they don't find on the website?
You can call me at 262-358-2004.
Or go on the website and fill out that form if you want to volunteer. Is there a deadline for filling out the volunteer form?
We didn't put a deadline on the form, but the sooner you get on the database, the better. We have about 500 names on the database now, and we would like to have at least three or four times that amount of people.
So if you think you can go, if you've got a good probability you can help to do this, you might as well sign up.
Yeah, we're going to need about 400 people per day working on the site for 6 days. So
that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people, yeah.
So don't sign up if you don't think you can do it, but if there's a high probability you can do this, please sign up on the website at www.thekac.com. And we're also accepting monetary donations right through the rest of the summer. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you are accepting gifts of food for the work crews in August and September.
Yes.
And you're selling pickets for the picket fence.
Yes.
And pavers or bricks?
Bricks,
tell
yes.
us about the bricks. Where
the
do
bricks,
those go?
The bricks are beautiful. They're going to be at the very entrance of the playground, and we have a large brick for $200, and we have a smaller brick for $100. And they're two different sizes. The nice thing about the larger brick is you can get a bigger message on there. I bought one as a memorial brick for my grandparents, and it's beautiful, and it says James and Margaret Matrice. In loving memory of James and Margaret Matrice. So I wanted to recognize my grandparents, and so they have a piece of the playground.
So you can do that, or you can make an outright just monetary gift.
Yes, sir.
An outright gift. And, of course, people could also, if they have donor-advised funds at the Kenosha Community Foundation, that's another way of making a gift as well, to direct that your funds might be used in that way. Tammy, what is your message to the children of our community after working this far on the project? What would you like to tell the children of this community and their parents?
Everybody plays. I guess it's an opportunity for people to come together and just have a great time and be kids and enjoy what the day has to offer. To have that opportunity to come out as a family, I think it's important. I think this is going to change the lives. It's going to touch a lot of people. It's going to make life better for a lot of people, people who unintentionally were discriminated against when things were planned. This has changed. This is a big step forward in how we embrace people of all abilities.
Tammy Conforti, president of Kenosha Dream Playground Project, thank you for being our guest on Community Matters this morning. And I encourage our listeners to get informed, get involved, and to pitch in. For Community Matters, this is Len Iaquinta. Good day.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the 32nd Annual Kenosha Rotary Club Golf Outing and Charity Raffle will take place Sunday, June 28th at Maple Crest Country Club. Proceeds will benefit Cerebral Palsy of Kenosha County and other Kenosha area charities. Call 658-2280.
Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring Roger Brothers blueberries from Michigan. Within hours of harvest, the berries are frozen to preserve flavor and nutrition for snacking, baking, or smoothies. Kenosha Harbor Market, open Saturdays from 9 to 2 on 2nd Avenue and Plaza Duay.
Support comes from the Racine Theater Guild closing out its production of Monty Python's Spamalot this weekend. Both evening and matinee performances for this Tony Award-winning musical comedy are available. For tickets, visit racinetheater.org or call 633-4218.
I'm Gregory Berg, and we'll spend most of Monday's morning show talking about the concept of forgiveness with an Englishwoman by the name of Marina Cantacuzino, who has created something called the Forgiveness Project and written a book of the same name, which offers all kinds of thought-provoking ideas on what it means to forgive. Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College, combining an environment of reflection and self-discovery with a culture of high expectation. More information at carthage.edu.